Hello and welcome to Beyond the Ball. My name is Collie and I am your host. I'm on my own this week. No Paddy to rub his Man United snubbery in my face and no Connor. So I can abuse, but sure look, we tip on with it. Right, what we're going to be looking at is the review from this week with a bit of football news this week regarding Manchester City and Leeds and Ted Lasso being sacked. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Then we'll have a look at the fantasy football. We'll give an update on the league. And then we will look at the weekend's fixture. So I'm going to jump straight into the football review. Okay. First one up is, unfortunately, Chelsea and Fulham. Nil all at the Bridge. Am I surprised? Absolutely not. Now, I know the lads would have loved to be here to give me a bit of abuse here, and this is my take on the way Chelsea is at the moment. I am, and I said it 2 weeks ago, fully willing to get behind Potter. But I'm finding it so fucking hard to do that when we spent 300 or 400 million and we can't score a goal against Fulham at home. That's the biggest thing. If that was away, I'd understand it. So, like, we're absolutely solid at the back, but we cannot score a goal. So I was 100% willing to get behind Potter and start trying to enjoy Chelsea playing football again, because I haven't been enjoying them for a while. It's been very fucking boring, and it's still continuing. It's still Chelsea cannot fucking score a goal, and I was willing to get behind Potter. But if we keep getting results like this, there's absolutely no way. And he doesn't have a leg to stand on. We've spent the money. We have the players. I know you could say we haven't really got an out-and-out number nine, but we have enough. Manchester City are able to do it without a number nine. Although, obviously, they have Haaland this year. Last year, they were one of the highest-scoring teams without a number nine. I can't sit here as a Chelsea fan and say that I'm happy with how things are going. Chris Potter, to me, it's just he's tactically inept. He's not as good as the likes of a Thomas Tuchel, as the likes of a Simeone. I know it's more of a defensive tactic, but I don't care. It's tactical knowledge. And as far as I can say, Potter's unproven at this level. We've given him time. I don't think he's big enough for the job. And that's just a personal opinion, and that's me making a quick judgment. Everyone will say, we've spent so much money, we've so many new players, give them time. I can't listen to that bullshit. I want results, and we want them now. We're currently sitting in ninth in the table, and it's fucking bleak. The only saving grace between us and Liverpool is that we are splashing cash, and we do have an owner that is willing to invest, which is the only thing that I can say goes in our favour. Liverpool, on the other hand, look absolutely shocking and look like they're fucked, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. Yeah, I can't say any more about Chelsea. Enzo Fernandez looks very good. Like, a couple of the signs, Mudrick looked like he was fucking not interested there on the weekend. To me, he looks like he may be an impact sub, which will come on and change a game. Don't know whether he was motivated, to be honest with you. Probably because of the manager. Not gonna lie, I wouldn't be motivated either. But we've a few decent players that we've signed. Surely one of them is going to be good. They have to be. Like, we've spent about 400 billion on it, so something has to give. Nil all at home against Fulham, it's not good enough. Potter needs to really change something. And I don't think personnel is what I'm talking about. I think it's tactics. And if he can't change it tactically, and he can't do something to enable Chelsea to break down teams like fucking Fulham, of all teams, something has to change. And whether it's him getting the bullet, I don't care. I just want to see something change. So, yeah, very unhappy with Chelsea yet again. So we'll see how that one plays out. Moving on to the next one, Wolves and Liverpool. This is one now that I wish we had Connor here, that we could throw the same questions to him about Jurgen Klopp, and we'd get the same answer that, oh, okay, Jurgen Klopp, he's there, he's world-class, but he's not getting the money to invest. I don't buy it. They bought Gakpo, who's absolutely dirt. They bought Nunes. They bought Diaz. They have Thiago that's come in recently, who gets injured every fucking second game. Jurgen Klopp has seen this team rotten away. As far as I'm concerned, Jurgen Klopp can see what's going on. People aren't getting younger. They're getting older. And if you're so worried about that team getting older and really kind of dropping in performance, you've got to go to your owner and say, I need money, I need investment, I need something to happen. He hasn't done it. I know people will say, like Connor did a couple of weeks ago, you're not going to come out and publicly berate your employer. But sometimes when it's desperate times, you have to take desperate measures. And that is what Jurgen Klopp needed to do. And I don't think he's done it. To me, he looks like he's lost interest. He doesn't look as animated as he used to. He's a pissing and moaning kind of guy now, which Mourinho turned into for a while. Don't like to see it. And I think it's a slippery slope for Liverpool. The next 3 or 4 years, unless they can sell the club in the summer, looks bleak. And I don't think they're going to be coming back anytime soon from it. Unless they get someone like a Todd Boehly, who's coming in, throwing the checkbook at it, getting as many players as they can. Other than that, can't see it happening. Losing 3-0 to Wolves, everyone will say, oh, Wolves are a half-decent team. No, no, no. They're sitting in 15th. They're struggling. They were potentially in a relegation battle. Because it's so tight at the bottom of the table, they're now up to 15th. I think they were 17th when we started. So, no, not accepting that Wolves are a good team, because they're not. So, yeah, that's all I've got to say about Liverpool. Again, if Connor was here, I'd give him a bit more abuse and kind of really dive into what he thinks they need. We'll get the same answers all the time. We'll always get the same answers from every single Liverpool fan. None of them. I have seen the odd one or two on TikTok coming out and saying, look, it is time for someone to start looking at Jurgen Klopp, because he may be a problem. I don't know. One or two of them. The rares. And I respect them for it. But as far as I'm concerned, every Liverpool fan will back Klopp to the end of time. And I understand it. He won them their first title in so long. But let's start fucking waking up and smelling the roses. It's Jurgen Klopp's the issue here. Next one. And again, I'm happy that Paddy is not on it, because the level of smugness would have been through the roof. Manchester United, yet again, getting another victory when maybe they shouldn't have. Looking at this game, I watched it, and it looked pretty straightforward until Casemiro grabbed fucking Whitey from me, myself, and Irene in a chokehold and gets a straight red. All of a sudden, Palace score, and then they look very threatening. Now, I think this game, for me, completely summed up the reason on why Wilfred Zaha has not got a world-class move. To me, just there's something missing in him, and I don't know what it is, but he just looked... I wasn't impressed with him. I thought he could have done more. It's going to fall on him a lot of the time, because he is the big player. He is the big player for that team, but... you have Eze as well, who I think is actually pretty good. But again, I don't know whether he has the character or something like that. He's missing something. All these Palace players are decent, but they're missing something, and I don't know what it is. So Manchester United getting a really, really good 3 points. I've put a video up on TikTok, and I'm going to stand by this, because I, for one, don't think Arsenal are going to win the league. Two, Manchester City, I don't know what's going on, but something's not right in that club at the moment. Whether it be Pep with the players, but the performances don't look as good. They're not really utilising Haaland as well as I think they could. I know he's scoring a lot of goals, but he could definitely contribute a bit more to the team. That's another reason. And then my third reason is I think Manchester United are actually going to be the closest to winning the league. As much as it kills me to say it, they're getting results when everybody else isn't, and they're getting results when they shouldn't be getting them, and that is a sign of champions. Manchester City are dropping too many points. I've called it already. I've called it weeks ago. Arsenal won't win the league, and this is the start of it. Losing 1-0 away to a struggling Everton team who have just got a new manager in. Fair enough, it's Sean Dyche, and he has his own little tactics. He parked the bus merchant, kind of launched the ball But if it works, it works. And that's what I've always said about Ireland. If you know a tactic and it works, stick to it. Sean Dyche has stuck to a 4-4-2 with Everton and beaten Arsenal, which I'm not surprised by. Anyway, I genuinely think Manchester United could be title contenders this year. It's heartbreaking to say it, but that's just how I feel, and that's just what I think. They are eight points behind Arsenal, but I do see Arsenal dropping a lot more points and Manchester United potentially picking up a lot more. Arsenal have still a massive amount of games coming up with a bunch load of European fixtures in between it. So it remains to be seen, but I do think as of now, I'm putting my name in the hat and I'm saying it, Manchester United are now title contenders this season, unfortunately. We'll jump on to the next one, which is one I just kind of touched on there. Spurs and Manchester City. Something just didn't seem right, although I would kind of put it down to the referee as being absolutely fucking atrocious in this game. Something for me is going on at Manchester City now. We'll touch a little bit on it later on about the financial fair play that has come up. But something in the background, like the likes of Pep Guardiola getting rid of Cancelo, I just think that's a strange one. And I know Cancelo's come out and said, no, nothing to do with me and Pep. We didn't have a falling out. It's just playing time. I don't know if I buy that. I have a feeling that Pep may be rubbing. If anybody has watched the All or Nothing documentary, I only watched it probably, I think I've only watched one or two episodes of it. But Pep Guardiola is so fucking intense. He's so intense in the dressing room and very easily could rub up a player the wrong way. And I think that's maybe what have happened here. Shocking English just there, but we'll go with it. But I think, I think he might be pissing some people off. And I don't know how many people he's going to be allowed to piss off, because as far as I can see, that squad, I don't think it's got the depth it had maybe 2 years ago. Even last season, I thought it had very good depth, but they've got rid of the likes of Cancelo, the likes of Sterling. There's a couple of others that they've kind of let go. Bernardo Silva could be on his way out. Mahrez is always rumoured to go. So there's a couple of people that are gone, but there's also a couple of people that are there that are unsure about their futures, which for me, I don't know. It doesn't look good. And then especially with what we have coming up later on with the financial fair play, which what could happen to the team. I don't know. Spurs, again, hit and miss with this team. It's so bizarre. Sitting in fifth position. I don't know what Antonio Conte, he must be pulling his hair out, because 1 week he gets fucking Brazil, the next week he gets fucking Trinidad and Tobago. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. But anyway, Harry Kane getting on the score sheet. Rookie mistake by me. Left him on the bench for the fancy football. But yeah, you live and learn. Right, we'll move off that one and we'll move on to the next one. Again, this is one I'm not gonna spend long on. It's Everton and Arsenal. I just wanted to put this one up because I have said that I don't think Arsenal are going to win the league. And this is why I'm saying it, because I don't think they have the balls to carry out, to finish the mission. I don't think they've got it in them. I don't think they have the cojones to fucking finish out this league. They've got another 18 games left. We're literally just past the halfway point. As far as I'm concerned, they've peaked. I can't see them. They don't have another gear. I don't think they have it. The squad depth isn't as good as some of the other teams, City and Manchester United, perhaps. But it just, Arsenal for me, not going to win the league. And this is the beginning of the end for Arsenal's title hopes, I think. And it'll be a massive, massive opportunity miss for Arteta. And there's no other way to sugarcoat it. Massive opportunity missed. So that's all I have to say on that one. I'm going to jump off this. This may not be, as again, because I'm here on my own this week, it may not be as long of a podcast. I'll skip through. I'm not going to drag shit out. But if you are listening or watching on YouTube, make sure you hit subscribe, like, comment. If anybody wants to send a comment in now, I will respond to you. So I'm going to move off the review and I'm going to move on to the news of the week. Right, obviously, we have the Manchester City situation. Well, I'm just going to touch on something that came up real quick. Won't spend too long on it, but Ted Lasso has been sacked from Leeds. And I don't know, like, this for me is a bit of a weird situation. They didn't wait around. They didn't fuck around with this one. As soon as they saw results slipping and them getting themselves into a battle, they chopped them. I don't know whether this may have been already decided that, right, if this guy gets into any trouble, we're going to get rid of him. I think this may have already been decided before the start of the season. That if they look like they're going to get into a relegation battle, we're chopping them and we have someone else coming in. I don't know who they've got coming in, but I would assume they've got somebody lined up. I don't think they're going to do that so abruptly and not have a plan. So I think they probably have somebody lined up for that one. So it'll be interesting to see who comes in and takes over that job. Maybe Frank Lampard. I don't know. I'd actually like to see a Frank Lampard at Leeds. But we're going to move off that and we're going to talk about something that has popped up, and it's something that may change the face of football over the next couple of years anyway. Manchester United and the financial fair play. So I'll read out just a little bit of what I've seen. I don't really know the ins and outs of what's gone on here. I don't think many people will come out and hold their hands up and say they know exactly what's going on with financial fair play. I think it's a bit of a smoke and screens where not really a lot is being told about and nobody really understands it. From my understanding, it's the amount the club spends compared to the size of the club. So you can only spend a certain amount depending on your size. That's what I think is going on. And I think what may have been happening is that Manchester City were trying to show that they were a bigger club than they were, which allowed them to spend more money. That's my understanding of it. I'm not 100% sure if that's actually right or not. Someone can correct me, no problem. Send me a message on Instagram or something, let me know what's going on. But from what's happened here, it says City have said on Monday they were surprised to have been charged by the Premier League with 101 alleged breaches of financial rules spanning 2009 to 2017. So 2009 to 2010 season is when it began. Manchester City was bought in 2008. And we all know they went on a big spending spree. I think the first signing was probably Robinho, who thought he was going to Manchester United. And the rest is kind of history of Manchester City, because they've signed so many players over the years. So many good top players as well. Like they've really bought sensibly. There's not massive amount of players that you kind of have gone with City, right? You made a bollocks there. Maybe fucking Mendy, because he's an alleged rapist. But it's a little bit surprising that Manchester City have come out and said they're surprised, given that they have already given a kind of a case towards themselves for it. So Pep Guardiola last season came out and said that he will leave and walk away from Manchester City if they are found guilty and something happens to them. Because apparently he has gone to the owner and already asked them, is this an issue? And they've assured him that nothing has gone wrong. So nothing dodgy is happening. Nothing has been swept under the carpet. It's all above board and everybody knows what's going on. For this to come up now, it just seems a little bit dodgy. And what also has me worried is that Chelsea are spending so much money right now that is this coming down our way. Now, I know we have kind of spread it out through longer term contracts, which allows us to kind of spend a bit more money. But my worry is that something like this is just going to pop up and going to bite Chelsea in the arse. Teams are coming out saying that they want Manchester City relegated from the league. So these are all the possibilities of what can happen. Manchester United or Manchester City getting relegated from the Premier League. They will get a heavy points deduction. There will be a massive fine. There will be they will be stripped of any titles they've won over the last 10 years, I think. Like none of these are a good outcome. Okay, maybe you'd say, right, the fine. Who cares about the fine? Oil money can pay any amount of money. So a fine probably isn't going to be enough. And I think they may look at this. And that's where I think they may actually fall down on this, is that if you know, if City have so much money, FIFA might say, you know what, if we find is we're not going to get what we want out of them, yeah, we'll get a few quid. But if they're really serious about instilling this financial fair play, they won't fine Manchester City. They will deduct points or else they will relegate them. And we've seen it happen over the years with teams. The likes of Juventus, I don't know if it was the same issue, but I think that could have been something to do with match fixing. But that was a heavy-handed punishment that cost the club and really punished them over a number of seasons, rather than just saying, right, 20 million fine, someone pays the 20 million fine, they continue as normal. They earned that back from winning the league. It makes no difference. They lost players and everything over that. I think this could happen Manchester City, because I think they'll want to be made an example of. And I fear it for them, to be honest with you. I don't think this looks good for them. Unless I have seen that they've hired a special lawyer who looks like he has sat for Boris Johnson or something before. So we don't know. This is all up in the air. But all the Premier League clubs have come out and said they want this done swiftly. They want the decision straight away. They don't want any dicking around. They're either guilty or they're not. And they want it over with. And they actually want Manchester City thrown out of the league. And most of the owners, I think, have come out and said that. So it's looking fucking dodgy for Manchester City at the moment. It'd be a shame to see it happen. I think as a football fan, not just a Chelsea fan, but as a football fan, it'd be a shame to see a team like Manchester City get such a fucking bad reputation from this, get pushed down the league, waste time down there, probably lose half their players, lose Pep Guardiola, go back to what they used to be before money. And everyone will say, oh, well, that's the real Man City. Bollocks. Money wins your leagues. Money wins everything. And cash is king. And that's just an absolute fact. So we'll move on from that. We'll keep an eye on that one over the coming weeks. But yeah, a bleak for Manchester City. We're going to move on to the fantasy football now. Okay, so I'm going to pull up the screen here. So if anybody is listening on Spotify, you can head over to our YouTube and turn it on to the 23rd minute, and you'll be able to see the teams here. So I'm just going to pull this up real quick. So we'll go through myself, Paddy, and Connor's team, and then we'll give you an update on the main league. So at the moment, I played my triple captain this week, and I'm extremely happy because at the moment, I'm sitting on 78 points. The highest of the week is 117, and the average is 37. I have doubled the average so far, and I still have Luke Shaw, Rashford, and Fernandez to play. So, unbelievable, I think. 78 points. Kept it in goal with 10. Again, like I said, Chelsea are shit, but they're solid at the back. Badi Ashil, and again, I said it last week, he's very good. Looks a really good player. Him and Thiago seem to be forming this brilliant relationship between the two of them, and I love it. So 6 points from him, 2 from Trippier, 5 from Shaw. He got an assist. Saliba got 2. Almiron, not been doing it lately, 2 points, and I was going to leave him on the bench, and he fucked up. Rashford, triple captain, 36 points. Fernandez, 10 points. Odegaard, 2. Mudrick, I took a gamble. I brought him in. I said, right, he looked fucking fire on his first game. Yeah, he was quickly fucking put out. Haaland at 2 points, and a really bad decision. Kane on the bench, 8 points. Shocking. But, what can you do? So we'll move on to the next one, and we'll get Paddy's team. Let's see, where are we? Right, so Paddy is currently top of the league between myself, Connor, and him. He had 55 points this week, 37 average. So he had Ederson in goal for 1 point, Trippier for 2, Gabriel for 2, Shaw for 2, Mudrick for 1, Odegaard for 2, Rashford as captain for 24, Fernandez in there for 10. He has fucking the Austrian sausage up front, Weghorst with 1, He has Haaland there with 2 points, and then he had Kane with 8. So a decent enough week from Paddy. We'll move on to Connor, who I don't think has done as well. That's a lie. He's done better. 61 points. He played as free here. So he has Pope and goal, 2 points. He has Saliba with 2, Shaw with 5, Shaw with 2, Mitomo. I feel like I need to say that. Mitomo. 11 points. Amaron 2, Odegaard 2, Rashford 24 points, Haaland 2, Kane 8, Tony 1. So he's sitting in last in there. We'll have a look at the podcast table, because there's been an absolute battle at the top, and it's been an interesting one to watch. Okay, so with 1 point, a 1 point lead, we have Collie Lamb, 50 shades of O'Shea, sitting top of the table with 1-4, 1-5. So 1,415 points. Sorry. Second place, we have Oshie and Kane, who has been there the whole time. Him and Collie have been battling it out. 1 point behind him with 1,414. Sitting in third is Dean Fletcher with 78 points this week. So he's pulled a few back on the lads. 1,404, so about 13 points behind. Then we have Lee Dillon up to fourth. Eric 10 bags, which is a good one. 81 points, really good week from him. Sitting in fifth, Anto O'Rourke. In sixth is Sonny McGreevy. Seventh is Alan Donovan. Eighth is Johnny Murphy. Ninth is Callum Warfield. And tenth is Paul Cummins. We'll go to last position, because that's always pretty fun to see who's sitting there and embarrassing themselves. And it is Nathan Doody is sitting in last position. Right, that is all we have on the fantasy football. Next, we are going to jump on to the weekend predictions. Okay, well, fly through it is. Hopefully be wrapped up in the next 5 or 10 minutes. Keep it nice and short this week. First one up, we have Manchester United versus Leeds at home. So Manchester United are at home against Leeds. That is tomorrow night, Wednesday night. How do I see this one going? I see this being a spanking for Leeds. I see it being 3-0 to Manchester United. Obviously, Leeds managerless at the moment, so I will assume that the assistant manager will step in there and take over for this game. I see it being 3-0. Don't see any result for Leeds here, especially with the way United are playing. United will miss Casemiro. That will be pretty obvious. You'll see that during the match. If they play McTominay, fuck knows what way it could go. And I don't know. I don't think they will. I think they'll probably play Fred there anyway. But 3-0. And then we have Leeds versus Manchester United again. Just mad that the two of them are playing each other in the same, like, 1 week. They're playing each other twice in the league. Again, I see this being the exact same thing. They may have a manager sorted by then, probably not. But I see it being a similar outcome, but slightly different result. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win for Manchester United. I'm going to say Martial to score in both games. That's what I'm going to throw out here. Next one then is West Ham versus Chelsea. Again, it's just hard being a Chelsea fan. How do I see this one going? I see Chelsea possibly keeping a clean sheet, but do I see them scoring? Absolutely not. Not again. Like, this could be nil all. It really could be. The only thing I can hope for is an own goal, that we win 1-0 with an own goal. But I'm going to have to go with what I think. And to be honest with you, I think we're going to keep a clean sheet, but if I have to pick a result here, I'm going to pick a West Ham win. And I'm going to say a 1-0 win, because I think there may be a mistake made at the back that will cost us a goal. Usually we're solid, but I have a weird feeling that there's going to be a mistake and we're going to lose 1-0. And I'm going to say Antonio to score. Last one, last but not least, by the way, Liverpool and Everton, the Merseyside derby. Probably couldn't be a worse time for Liverpool to play Everton. New manager, just after beating Everton. Have Everton burnt themselves out in that match? Possibly. How do I see this one going? Usually I would go with an Everton or with a Liverpool win here, but just I just think Liverpool are so bad this season that I can't even see them winning. I honestly don't see them winning. I see them drawing this game, and I see it being a one-all draw. And I see them probably getting lucky with a one-all draw. I have a feeling it'll be a red card in the game. But I'm going to say a one-all draw. And I'm going to say... Trent Alexander-Arnold to score, because I just don't... whatever it is about Liverpool so far this season, I'm not afraid of their attacking force. I just don't think they're on the ball. So I'm going to go with it, with a defender to score, and that defender is Trent. So that's it. Ladies and gents, that is all we have time for. I'm sorry you've had to listen to my voice if you've managed to get through this far. Fair play to you. Deserve a cookie, and I'll bake you a cookie if you text me and tell me you want the cookie. I'll send you out a fresh batch of cookies. Fucking hell, that's they're sick of me now at this stage. Right, I have to say a big thank you to absolutely nobody except for myself for being here, and you, of course, the listener and the follower. And if you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on Spotify, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure you rate us 5 stars. Make sure you follow us. Make sure you share it around. I know you probably won't do that. Bit too much to ask. But if you could do the other things, they're all anonymous, so we don't know you're doing it. So it's great. You probably don't like me, but listen to it on the sly and say, oh, fuck that. I wouldn't be supporting him. You could do it. You know, I'm not going to kill you. But yeah, if you are listening on Facebook or anything like that, just make sure you hit like, comment, subscribe, follow, share, all the good stuff, because it keeps us engaged, keeps us engaged with yous. Make sure you follow us on TikTok as well. We are putting a lot more out on TikTok, and we are getting a bit of traction on TikTok. So I think join the party over there. It's good crack. I like to wind different sets of fans up, usually 2 or 3 times a week. So it's good crack. So I'd like to thank everybody for being here and listening and watching, and we'll see everybody next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Goodbye.